हरे कृष्ण।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सीसी सपोर्टिंग एसबी 10th कैंटो 6th चैप्टर। सो आर यू डिसअपॉइंटेड? सो जस्ट दिस मॉर्निंग ओनली, जस्ट बिफोर मंगलारती, सुजित प्रभु टोल्ड मी दैट प्रोजी डिडंट गेट दैट बुक एंड he prefers to do it next week. So 10.3, that chapter will be given by Radhishyam Prabhu next Tuesday, same time, morning 7:30 to 9:30. okay, so that is reserved for Prabhuji. And I already told Damodar Prabhu 10.4 and 10.5 for Monday and Tuesday. That's why I'm taking 10.6 today. And why I'm taking at this time, because I have another class for the senior batch at 10:30. And why are we having class in the first place today? Because some devotees expressed that we didn't get sufficient time to reflect upon what kind of proposal we should give for project. So projects, they have not decided because we have not given sufficient time. The focus went into 9th canto grand test. So today was supposed to be the first day of your projects. Because the finalizing the projects became little delayed, we'll start projects from next Friday. You can come here and work. So generally, how our speakers are available is that Monday, Tuesday, they'll come, or Wednesday, Thursday, they will come. They will come in for two days. So tempo traveler timings also should match. So generally, speakers are not available for Fridays. That's the trend. So we can have class on Monday, project on Monday, but Tuesday you have to be adjusted with some GV speaker, not necessarily a senior speaker. Then Friday also you'll have to adjust with a GV speaker only. That's your main consideration, right? So for you to get opportunity to hear from some senior Vaishnavas, you should adjust on Friday project. Okay? So 10.6. Regularly studying Bhagavatam, one develops a maturity in his thought process and his behavior and his whole actions and the way he looks at things in this world, that will gradually be transformed, right? In 1 year, you must have experienced that kind of transformation to a certain degree, right? And others also will experience that transformation. So you may not remember, 1.2.3 kya? What is 1.2.3? Huh? 1.2.3, who is there? Yes, Svanubhava Makhila Sruti Sarama. 1.1.3 is, that is correct. So you may not be immediately recall some verse, right? You may not be remembering certain lessons that were spoken in the class. But you will imbibe that spirit, and when the right time comes, you will act appropriately. Memory and recall is a very small element of Shastric study. The major element is the transformation that the devotee experiences, the maturity that he develops. You may not be able to see it and perceive it in you now, but that will be seen in your actions, in your thought process, in your aspirations. Your aspirations change after studying Bhagavatam, right? So just now, 10 minutes back, 5 minutes back, after Gurupada Radhesham Prabhu was appreciating all of you, that the presentations that they made now, yesterday and day before yesterday, all of you spoke, right? So your thought process and the way you are presenting things, that is quite refined. And Prabhuji said, in the initial days I used to evaluate presentations for the senior batch. So there they presented some things. So there is a very clear difference between what they have presented in 2014, 2015 and what they have presented yesterday in 2016. I could see that improvement in them. I could see that refined thought process in them. Prabhuji was appreciating like that. It's an observation made by a very senior Vaishnava. So that shows Bhagavatam works. Bhagavatam study works. Right? Vidyapit works. Like that. So please be rest assured that if you just stick to this study, you will develop that maturity and spiritual development, inner growth from within, you will experience. Generally, when you enter the second year, the spirits will come slightly low. Now it's fine. 10th canto, initial chapters are fine. Till Vrindavan Lila it is fine. Then, after post Vrindavan Lila, once you enter Mathura and Dwaraka, especially when you enter Dwaraka, there are hardly any purports. And most of them are storylines only. So the effort that you have to put in your personal study will be greatly minimized. Today, Putana will be taught. Putana is the simplest chapter actually. So Putana 10.6 will be completed. So post class you will study, right? You will have to put some effort. But in some chapter beyond 10.40 or 10.50, there are all storylines. You need not put even half of the effort that you put for understanding or memorizing what the contents of this chapter. Like that, 2-3 months will go. 10th and the second half. That's where people get slightly slackened. Yatra also comes there. Right? So, these are last 3 batches I have observed like that. Right? The spirits, nahi? Because you need not put effort, so you will lose that culture of study. You will have more space for you. It will not be so tight. So, at that time, it's a real test. You need to be committed to it. You need to effectively utilize your time. You are putting less effort in answering the exams, so try to refer to other commentaries. Right? Fill in that extra space with something positive related to Bhagavatam. We have Jiva Goswami's commentary. We have Sanatana Goswami's commentary in English now. You can read more. So, the effort you have to put will be minimized, but you should not minimize that effort. Right? You should utilize that energy to gain some more, you know, spiritual strength. So, once the things get slackened slightly, then 11th canto Uddhavita comes like this. Then again you will have a tough time. You will have a problem. Arey, Uddhav Gita aagaya. Till now, in 1 hour my preparation is over. Now even if I sit for 5 hours, I am unable to understand what's happening here. 11th canto, you are forced to come together, do a combined study and then spend more time. So better maintain that spirits of group study and putting full efforts in your study, whether the chapter is easy or tough. Like that. If it is easy, try to go deep. So now we are seeing the expanse of Bhagavatam. In 2 years, right, we have seen the expanse of the ocean. Right? Whatever. This is 335 chapters wide. Right? 18,000 verses wide. 12 cantos wide. We are seeing the expanse. We have not seen the depth of Bhagavatam. Depth of Bhagavatam you have seen yesterday. How Prabhuji, Radheshyam Prabhu brought Shastric principles and day-to-day life incidents and his own personal reflection and maturity. There is a blend of all these three. Right? You should be able to relate your thoughts and your thought process with Shastra. Right? And you should be able to relate that Shastra in the day-to-day life also. So all these three, this triangle should come. Because we are thinking something else, what is written in the book is something else and what is happening in our life is something else. Right? There is a disconnection. A mature Vaishnava can bring all of them together and merge, right? So there is, you don't see any disconnections, right? You didn't see anything discrete there. Everything is smoothly flowing, right? Whatever Prabhuji is presenting was smoothly flowing, but all these three elements are nicely, mixed with each other and presented, right? So that maturity one will develop if one sticks to regular study of Bhagavatam. This opportunity is very rare. I didn't get this opportunity. I studied on my own, I'm studying on my own. So you are very privileged like that. So let's begin. Putana 10.6. Shri Shuka Uvacha Nandah Pativacha Shaurer Namrisheti Vichintayan Harim Jagama Sharanam Utpata Gama Shankitaham. Okay. So, Nanda Maharaj thought of Vasudeva's warning. So what happens is, we just completed two chapters. Now we are jumping to sixth chapter. What will happen in these chapters is, after second chapter, Krishna will take birth in the third chapter. You are very familiar. You must have read Krishna book. You must have heard all this nicely. Now we are going deep only. So after Krishna's appearance in third chapter and his shifting to Gokul, right? In the fourth chapter, we have some atrocities of Kamsa. So in the third chapter ending, you know, the baby's exchange will happen. And that baby girl was brought to, you know, Kamsa's prison house. And then she becomes Durga and gives a warning to Kamsa. Right? And Kamsa will go and have a discussion with all his demoniac friends. Right? Then he orders everyone, you go and kill the babies and stop the sacrifices. So like that he would give an order. Then Nanda Maharaj meets Vasudeva, right? He goes to Mathura to pay taxes and then he meets Vasudeva and Vasudeva gives a warning. I was thinking, where did I speak all this? I was speaking in evening discussion there. So Vasudeva goes to Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj goes to Vasudeva. And there was a confidential meeting that happened, right? Then Vasudev warns him there could be some problem at Gokul. You should go immediately. You have paid taxes here. You should not stay here anymore. You should go back. So Ananda Maharaj, while returning back, he was constantly meditating on Vasudev, what Vasudev told, right? He was foreseeing some disturbances here. There must be some disturbances. He was just going like that, and then on the way he sees Putana's body, right, gigantic body. Then he understands, oh, this is what Vasudeva has said. Out of his simplicity, Nanda Maharaj thought that Vasudeva has become a sage. By dint of his devotional service, he has become like a sage. He could predict the future also. That was Nanda Maharaj's simplicity. But from Vasudeva's side, Vasudeva, being a Kshatriya, he knows the politics there, what's happening there. He could understand the movements of Kamsa and his aspirations, his plans. That's why he could warn. But out of simplicity, Nanda Maharaj perceived that Vasudeva's warning as a prediction of future, and he has developed some mystic powers like a sage. Like that. So that's what is happening here. So this chapter describes Putana. So Putana assumes a very beautiful form in beautiful form like a lady, like a beautiful lady, and appears in Vrindavan. Then when she was dying, she assumes her Rakshasi form again, and eventually she attains liberation by Krishna's mercy, and that body is burned to ashes by Nanda Maharaj and his associates. These are the few topics that are discussed in this chapter summary. Chapter summary. So this Putana represents a pseudo guru. So now the demons episode is starting. So many demon killing episodes we will learn. Each demon will represent some unwanted thing, anartha. So Putana represents a pseudo guru. So an assignment for all of you could be just to jot down all these names of the demons and the anartha that they represent and some explanation why they are representing that anartha. They are readily available, but as a part of your study, you jot down, you will learn it. Like that. So why Putana is representing a pseudo-guru? Because she assumed a motherly form, but inside she was holding such grudge and envy and hatred towards Krishna. Right? So a deceitful so-called guru, he preaches sense gratification, right, in the garb of liberation. It seems that this fellow is preaching about liberation, but what he is preaching or what he is doing is only sense gratification, right? So in some cases, this may be a person who is engaged in some Krishna conscious activity, but has not realized the course of pure devotional service and tries to give instructions to his disciples beyond his own understanding or without regard for their situations, like that. So pseudo guru is not just some bogus guru of Mayavadi or some Babaji. It's not necessarily like that. So some of the struggling sadhakas within the realm of Krishna consciousness also could be like pseudo gurus, right? Inside, his aspirations and habits and other things are different. But outside, his teaching and instructions are different, right? He's also called a pseudo guru. But one thing we need to discriminate. Many times when we are speaking Bhagavatam, we have to speak principles. But the person has to be aware that I am not on the level of Bhagavatam. I have not become a Bhagavata, but I am speaking Bhagavatam, right? So there is work in progress. We need to discriminate between a struggling sadhaka who is attempting to become pure by the practice of Krishna consciousness, and we should understand that a hypocrite sadhaka who doesn't want to improve, right, but he is faking that he is a devotee. There are two different things. Fake it till you make it is good, but faking it without an intention to make it, that is nonsense. You need to discriminate between these two. Arey, bada bada baat bol rahe, kal class mein itna bol diya. Now what he is doing? Don't get on their case, right? He's in good standing, that much you see, right? Because he has to speak Bhagavatam, he's speaking such great principles. But he is not at that level, but he's aspiring to follow those things. He's attempting, right? He is aspiring to follow all those principles. He is aspiring to imbibe that spirit of Bhagavatam, right? There is an intention to improve in him. He may not have improved completely, but there is an intention to improve. That is good. But if there is no intention to improve only, then that he is a pseudo guru. That's the point. Then, Putana is pseudo guru. So we have discussed pseudo guru, and pseudo guru means bogus guru who teaches sense gratification only, right? Who misguides people from the path of liberation. That is one pseudo guru. And a hypocrite sadhaka can also be considered pseudo guru. There is another important pseudo guru. That is our mind. Our mind is Putana. Where is Putana? In our mind. We need to understand this. Because inwardly the mind manifests as a spiritual guide in the form of some mundane, empiric reasoning faculty, all that. That material mind. So inwardly it constantly gives us suggestions. This is what you need to do, this is what you need to eat, this is what you need to see, this is what you need to perceive things, this is how you need to understand things in this world, right? Mind is constantly poking us. Mind is trying to overpower our spiritual intelligence. By reading Bhagavatam, we are developing some intelligence, but mind is stronger than our intelligence sometimes, or many times, to different degrees. So mind is supposed to be controlled by our intelligence, but when the material aspect of the mind is more than the spiritual aspect of intelligence, so intelligence is like very feeble in the presence of mind. Means you got it right? The material aspect of mind is more stronger than the spiritual aspect of intelligence. How can this small, weak intelligence control that strong mind? We need to strengthen our intelligence and make the intelligence grow bigger and bigger so that it can control our mind. Right? The spiritual aspect of intelligence should become bigger than the material aspect of mind, then intelligence can control the mind, like that. Otherwise, mind controls the intelligence, like that. So that uncontrolled mind, that material mind, that even overpowers the intelligence also, that misguides people, which is the storehouse of all anarthas, that is a pseudo guru that represents Putana. That's what we are going to discuss now. Before we enter the past, I am just giving some background. And Putana, in her last life, she was Ratnamala, not Bhagavat Ratnamala, our shloka book. So this is, her name is Ratnamala. So according to Brahmavivarta Purana, she was the younger sister of Bali Maharaj. This Ratnamala was the younger sister of Bali Maharaj. According to Garga Samhita, she was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. Right? So two different scriptures present two different ways, but it's okay. She is related to Bali Maharaj. When Vamandeva was coming and then she was appearing, he was appearing like a very sweet child. So she had motherly affection. Ratnamala had motherly affection for Vamandeva. Oh, I want to feed him my milk. I want to be like his mother. Such a sweet child. She was thinking like that. Motherly affection came in her feelings. But when Vamandeva became Trivikram and subdued Bali, then Ratnamala's mood changed. If I am his mother, I would feed him poisonous milk and then kill him. Right? So she developed that intention. So but that mother position she preserved. So Krishna fulfilled that desire. So we need to understand what we are desiring. Right? If we are desiring something nonsensical, if Krishna makes note out of it and he awards that desire, then it is like little too much to handle. So we need to have a constant check and balance of what we are thinking, what we are aspiring for. So she aspired like that. So even Dhruva Maharaj, initially he was having some negative feelings towards his brother and stepmother, Uttama and Suruchi. So Lord fulfilled that desire also. Although it is material, and later Dhruva Maharaj never wanted to take revenge against them also. He had to see that Lord fulfilled. Anyways, coming to this particular verse, where we have Nandaha Pathi Vachah Shaurer. Pathi means on the way back. Pati, pati nahi, pathi, thi, it's not p-a-t-i. Pati is husband, right? But pathi is on the way. So on the way, vachah shaure hai. Shauri means here Vasudeva. Vasudeva is like a shauri. So he is thinking about what Vasudeva spoke, right? Namrishyeti vichintayan. Namrisha, without purpose or cause, right? Iti vichintayan. So while Nanda Maharaj was on his way back, he was considering that Vasudev, he said, could not be false. Right? Namrisheti. What Vasudev said cannot be false. How can Vasudev speak something just like that? Right? Aisa kaisa bol sakte? Right? There must be some strong reason behind it. Right? So Harim Jagama Sharanam. What Vasudev spoke was about some utpata. There's something wrong that might be happening there. So please be careful. That's what he said. So if something negative situation we are about to face, what we will do? We have to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Harim Jagama Sharanam. So he was taking shelter of Nanda Maharaj. And what was the first thought that came in Nanda Maharaj when he heard that there could be some danger? He thought some danger could happen to Krishna. A devotee is constantly conscious of Krishna. If there is some problem or some disturbance that affects interests of Krishna, he will take it very seriously. If there is some attack on his own self, it's not a upata. It's not anything wrong. Right? For example, in Kaliya Leela, Krishna jumped into Kaliya Lake. Right? So there were so many dangerous omens all over Vrindavan, right? So there were dangerous omens within the bodies of people, within the climate also. They have seen the climatic changes. Hey, something wrong has happened. And for men, if some left side of the body, if it just vibrates, it indicates something inauspicious, right? All these are happening to the people of Vrindavan. The first thought that came in their mind is, Krishna must be in danger. Right? So when they foresee some disturbance or calamity, they will see their thought pattern turns towards Krishna. Is Krishna in danger? That's what they are thinking. My left side of my body is vibrating. Will I lose some property today? Right? Will I lose my wife today? Will I lose my children today? Will somebody attack my kingdom or house? These are not the thoughts. They were not thinking about personal calamity. They were thinking about Krishna's safety. Right? Oh, what will happen to Krishna? Krishna must be in danger. That's why we are seeing these dangerous omens. And these are the thoughts of entire Vrindavan community. All of them followed the footsteps of Krishna and they came to Kalia Lake. They left everything at home. They didn't even lock their doors. There was no mention like that. Krishna must be in danger. They just ran towards Kalia Lake. Krishna must be in danger. Where is Krishna? He is in forest. How to understand? How to reach where Krishna is? Just follow his footsteps. Because nobody in Vrindavan will disturb Krishna's footsteps. So like that. When a prediction for danger is given, he was thinking, Harim Jagama Charanam. And what was that danger? There must be danger for my son, Krishna. Utpata Agama Shankitaha. So what a big thing. Any father will think about the danger for his son or daughter only. Is it not? Nanda Maharaj happens to be the father of Krishna. Right? If someone else happens to be the father of Krishna, they will also think about Krishna only. Because Nanda Maharaj became the father of Krishna, he is thinking about Krishna. But the principle is same. A father will think about his son. Son's danger. Is it not? What's so special about Nanda Maharaj? Question. This is question. You should answer. No, Krishna happens to be the Supreme Lord. Right? That's why you are saying that Krishna, Nanda Maharaj is devotional to Supreme Lord or whatever. If someone else is Nanda Maharaj's son, he would have had affection, same affection. This is the point. To get Krishna as a son is not ordinary. Right? Any mother or any father might think that if Krishna happens to be my son, I would have had same affection. If Krishna is not son, I am having affection for my son. How can I have affection for someone else's son? That may be the point of fathers or mothers of this world. But to become Krishna's father or Krishna's son is not an easy thing. We will learn more about it in 10th canto, 14th chapter, last verses beyond 45-50. Sukadeva Goswami discusses this in detail. It's not that Nanda Maharaj is thinking about Krishna's protection because his father. Entire Vrindavan community was thinking about Krishna's protection. So, every devotee loves Krishna. Whether that devotee is a father or a friend or a lover or a servant of Krishna, that's a different detail. That's a different subject matter. But if he's a devotee, he loves Krishna. He thinks about Krishna's safety, not about his family and all. Okay? So we will discuss more about it later. Yeah. No, that's not actually anything. There is no spiritual content in it, definitely. But what we can understand is that the highest love that is available. Prabhupada says like that. Yeah, of course. Much more intense. So you cannot compare the parents' love for their own child in this material world to the love of Yashoda Nanda towards Krishna. There is a lot of difference. So whenever there is a danger, the pure devotee thinks about the protection or the shelter, protection and shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Prabhupada is very nicely explaining here. Therefore, a devotee has no other course than to take shelter at the Lord at every step. Padam padam yad vipadam. In this material world, there is vipada at every step. See that beautiful line. Padam padam yad vipadam. At every step, there is danger in material life. Between the steps also, there is danger. Maharaj says like this. Radhanand Maharaj says like this. Not just at every step, between the steps. Step from here to here, which may be here, danger. Like that. So, because there is danger at every step, devotee takes shelter of Krishna at every step. Every moment devotee is taking shelter of Krishna, like that. Because there is danger at every step. Whenever there is danger, they will take shelter of Krishna. When there is danger, every step. Means every time they take shelter of Krishna. So devotees are constantly taking shelter of Krishna. That's the point. Jiva Goswami says, he surrendered in his mind to Hari, he who destroys all fears. Since Vishnu was his family deity, for the auspiciousness of his son. So, Harim Jagama Sharanam means he is surrendering to Lord Hari or Vishnu. Who is that Vishnu here? That is the worshipable deity which Nanda Maharaj worships in his house. Right? Why he is taking shelter of Hari? For the protection of Krishna. He is unable to see Krishna as Hari out of his affection. He is seeing Hari, Vishnu as Hari, as a person who can give protection to Krishna. But Krishna is the source of Hari. Krishna is the source of that Vishnu which Nanda Maharaj is worshipping. But out of affection, Nanda Maharaj cannot understand this. Ignorance is of two types. One out of pure affection, one out of envy. A demon also may not be able to understand Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, source of Narayana, Adi Narayana, original Narayana. Demon cannot understand this out of his envy and arrogance. But a devotee, Vrindavan Vasi, also cannot understand this out of affection for Krishna. Well, Krishna is my son. Why are you saying that he is God? He is my son. Right? Krishna is my friend. Why are you saying he is God? Why are you saying that he is demigod? If he is demigod, we are also demigods. That's what all the gopas think. Like that. Then second, kamsena prahita ghoram, putana balaghatini, sishumschachara nighnanti, puragrama vrajatishu.
While Nanda Maharaj was returning to Gokula, the same fierce Putana, whom Kamsa had previously engaged to kill babies, was wandering about in the towns, cities and villages, doing her nefarious duty.
So the previous verse says, Utpata agama shankitaha. So Nanda Maharaj was thinking that some utpata, utpata means a calamity, agama means it's about to come, shankitaha means he's suspecting. So Nanda Maharaj was suspecting that there could be a calamity that is coming, because Vasudeva predicted. So what is that utpata? So Sukadeva Goswami. So in a movie, right, there is some introduction, right? Some scene. In some scene, there is some introduction. So at the end of the scene, there is a hint given. So and so personality is coming. And some people were discussing like this. And that personality scene will come next. Right? So utpata. Who is that utpata? Utpata is coming in the form of Putana. So Sukadeva Goswami is changing the scene in the next verse. The Nanda Maharaj scene is over. What are his thoughts are described. So next scene, Putana is entering. Putana's introduction is given. Like that, Parichai. Like that. So all movie scripts are also originating from this only. So in the olden days, right, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years back, there used to be movies based on scriptures. Right? They used to write screenplay based on how Mahabharata and Ramayana they are written. They are like predominantly some Puranic stories or historical, right, in the olden days. So now slowly, all that Purana, everything is gone, and then now some other stupid movies are coming. So that is also there. How to write a screenplay, you can understand from Bhagavatam also. Kamsena Prahita Ghora. Prahita means she was engaged. By whom? Kamsena. So Kamsa has engaged her in service. Right? Sometimes you are engaged in different services by your respective incharges. Right? He is in Vrindavan forest. Right? You are in eco oasis. You are engaged in certain activities. So here Kamsa is the in charge of this fellow, Putana. So he is engaging Kamsa. Kamsena Prahita Ghora. So Ghora means very fierce. Putana Balaghatini. So Kamsa engaged Putana. What are her qualities? She is very fierce. And Balaghatini. She is known for killing children. That is her description. Putana. Caption. Balaghatini. Right? She is a killer of small infant babies. So such a abominable description of a person. What is he doing? Infant, innocent babies who have not yet opened their eyes, who are just suckling milk from their mothers, right? Who can never contemplate on some harm towards anyone in this world at any time. They have no ability to be envious of anyone also. How can someone be envious of them? But Putana is envious of them. To what extent she is envious? She wants to kill all of them. Balaghatini. So that is really horrible description, horrible introduction of Putana. Then Shishums Chachara Nighananti. Shishums means small babies. Chachara Nighananti. She was wandering here and there only to Nighananti, kill Shishun babies. She was going here and there to kill small babies, infant babies. Puragrama Vrajadishu. And where all she is wandering? Chachara. Wandering is happening where? Puragrama, cities and villages. Right? Vraja. Puragrama Vraja means towns, cities and villages. Right? Adishu, here and there. That's where she is wandering. That is her introduction. So though previously Kamsa's ministers persuaded him to afflict the sages, fearful Kamsa agreed that Putana should go to kill the infants as a simultaneous method for safety. So earlier, what were they thinking? In the meeting between Kamsa and all his associates, ministers, in 10th Kanta, 4th chapter, which you have not studied yet. So there was a meeting. Anything? Nothing? Okay. So they planned to, they told Kamsa that demigods are your enemies. How to kill demigods? Vishnu is the root of demigods. You should kill Vishnu. How to kill Vishnu? Brahminical culture and cow protection and sacrifices, they are all the root of Vishnu. They are the basis of Vishnu. So we should stop them. We should, you know, kill the cows, you should kill the, or whatever, torment the brahmanas and stop the sacrifices, then Vishnu will be affected. If Vishnu is affected, then demigods are affected. This is how you can be safe. This is their safety plan. Right? How to... security plan. There is a security meeting that is happening. What are the measures, various measures for my security? To stop sacrifices. To torment sages and brahmanas. Right? And to kill small babies. Right? And to kill cows. This is their security measures. We have meetings, right? Security. Either ek security ko khada karo, either ek security ko khada karo. Right? Some thief may come here. Somebody else may come here. So these are their security measures. Demoniac people's security measures are like this. So as a simultaneous method of security or safety, apart from harassing sages, so Kamsa called Putana also. My dear Putana, go and kill babies who are just 10 days old. So she was first engaged. She was first engaged because she was ferocious in killing infants. So now infant is like the Shatru or the killer of Kamsa has not grown up. He is just an infant baby. And she is very expert in killing babies. That's why she was the first demon that was called. Right? He could have called Aghasura first. He could have called someone else first. Right? Dhenukasura or Keshi first. But he called Putana first because this the event here, the service that has to be done, needs a very specific skill to kill babies. Right? And Putana is known for it. When you are giving service to someone, you should see how much expertise he has into doing that service. Right? That is the management skill of Kamsa. We can learn from him also. Right? Somebody who is searching where is A, where is B, where is C in the keyboard, you can't ask him to type a document. Right? So you ask someone who is good at typing, he's computer savvy. Similarly, she is good at killing babies. So Kamsa gave that service to her. Putana means Putan api natana. Putan api natana means even if the person is a small baby, infant, she will kill. That's what Putana means. Putan api natana. Even if it is a small baby, she can kill. Like that. So I am going slow and deep. You are okay with this? I am not in a mood to complete the chapter today. Right? Whatever is remaining, we will do later. So let's relish. The 10th canto, right? Vrindavan. We are Vrajvasis. Is it not? We are living in Vrindavan. And I am in that department also. And we will have more classes in Vrindavan only. If you make that ready. Madhav Prem Prabhu. That gazebo. Huh? Let the landscaping happen. Okay, next. Third verse. Dayatra Sravanadini Rakshoghnani Svakarmasu Kurvanti Satvatam Bhartur Yatu dhanyas chatatrahim.
My dear king, wherever people in any position perform their occupational duties of devotional service by chanting and hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, there cannot be any danger from bad elements. Therefore, there was no need for anxiety about Gokul, while the Supreme Personality of Godhead was personally present.
Okay. Nayatra Shravanadini Rakshoghanani Swakarmasu. Shravanadini means Shravana Adi. Bhakti has different limbs, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, like that. So Shravanadini means the devotional activities or spiritual practices headed by hearing Krishna Gata. Wherever these are happening, then there could be no issues with this kind of Balaghatini and other Khechari, Yatudhani demons. Because after Parikshit Maharaj heard the second verse, na, he went into anxiety. Hey, what will happen to Krishna now? But he also went into some affectionate mode to Krishna. He has heard 9 cantos, he knows the supremacy of Krishna. Right? Nobody can cause any harm to Krishna, that was known to Parikshit Maharaj. But because of his so much of absorption in this Krishna Katha, he became momentarily very anxious for Krishna's protection. Krishna is a small baby. And first verse says, Nanda Maharaj was Utpata Agama Shankitaha. Means Nanda Maharaj was contemplating on there could be some danger coming. Vasudev told me. Vasudev's prediction. Nanda Maharaj's anxiety. Then Putana's entrance. Putana loka Putana loka balaghatini. Right? Shishum sachara nighranti. She's traveling in villages, towns and cities. Right? To kill small children. So when Sukadeva Goswami was presenting like this, Parikshit Maharaj immediately came into anxiety. So Parikshit Maharaj getting into anxiety reflects how absorbed is he in his hearing. Right? His anxiety reflects his absorption in Krishna Katha. Unless you are so absorbed, you cannot enter the emotions of the pastime. Is it not? Why he is just hearing? What is happening is only story. Right? It's not that directly Krishna is there, someone is coming. And he's not a part of the play also. So when you are absorbed in hearing pastime, you are a part of the pastime. Please understand this for your future hearing. So our absorption will take us into the mood of the pastime, will make us a participant of the pastime. We will share the feelings of all the personalities who are taking part in the pastime. Right? This anxiety is for Nanda Maharaj. Why Parikshit Maharaj is in anxiety? He's an audience. Right? He's a third party. He's just hearing what happened. Why you got into that mood? That means he's absorbed. He's totally absorbed. Parikshit was a devotee of Krishna. And therefore when he understood that Putana was causing disturbances in Gokul, he was somewhat perturbed. And Shukadeva Goswami spoke this verse only to reassure Parikshit Maharaj. Right? So there is no loss in this and the gain is tremendous. Right? Wonderful. World is full of danger. Padam padam yadvipadam. Therefore chant Hare Krishna, so that in our family, society, neighborhood and nation, everything will be smooth and free from danger. These are some of the statements of Prabhupada. So this verse is about chanting and hearing. Right? Whenever one does that chanting and hearing, one will not be afflicted by any danger. That's what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. So Prabhupada is giving us as a personal application point, you absorb in chanting and hearing, then there is no danger for you. Right? 2 points are there. When you are absorbed in your hearing, you will gain entrance into the pastime. Means you will share the feelings of the participants. That's like very high level of absorption that Parikshit Maharaj is experiencing. Right? We may not be able to experience that much, but what we can take is we should attentively hear. We should not get spaced out. That's the point here. So when we do that, when we attentively hear, then the calamities in this world will not disturb us. That's the point. Nayatra sravanadini rakshoghnani svakarmasu. Then kurvanti satvatam bhartur yatu dhanyascha tatrahi. Satvatam bhartur. The Lord is bhartu. Satvatam. Krishna's name. Satvatam bhartu means the protector of his devotees. Satvatam means devotees. Bhartu means protector. Lord is satvatam bhaktu. So there cannot be any danger from bad elements like Yatudhani and other things, right? If one is absorbed in Krishna, Krishna Katha. Similar verse comes in 10th canto, 11th chapter. Right? 11th chapter, when after Krishna killed Aghasur and, not Aghasur, Krishna killed Bakasur and Vatsasur. Those are the first demons Krishna killed after taking charge of the calves. So, after Krishna killed those demons, all the gopas would come to Nanda Maharaj and reports. This is how Krishna killed that crane demon. This is how Krishna killed that calf demon. So, like that he would narrate. Then, this Nanda Maharaj and other gopas, they hear that and they get absorbed in Krishna's pastimes and all the material tribulations they will forget. See, a demon is coming and attacking you every day. Every day some demon or the other will come and attack you. Is it not a calamity? And Vrajavasis are experiencing that calamity every day. Is it not? And now we are hearing that story from a distance. We may not be able to understand the seriousness of it. You are sitting in your house, suddenly some demon comes. Right? Suddenly some snake comes. If one small snake comes into this classroom, how much you will be perturbed? Right? Just some cobra. What is Aghasur in front of cobra? What is cobra in front of Aghasur? Demons of that magnitude are coming to Vrindavan to disturb them. But how come Vrajavasis are staying inspired and happy in Vrindavan, which is infested with so many demons who are visiting and trying to kill them every day? There is constant calamity, constant anxiety in Vrindavan, but they are happy. Iti nandadayo gopa krishna rama kathamuda kurvanto ramamanasya navindam bhavavedanam. You can see in your folio, in your important verses list also I mentioned. Iti nandadayo gopa krishna rama kathamuda. Nanda and other gopas, nandadayo gopaha, what they are doing? Krishna rama kathamuda. They are absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna Rama Katham Muda Kurvanto. They are discussing that. Ramamanasya, with great happiness. Navindam Bhava Vedanam. This Bhava Vedana of getting disturbed by material demons, Navindam. They will have no effect on them. Right? Although there is constant calamity and the magnitude of the quality and quantity of calamity is like very deep. Right, 10.11 or 12, 10.11, ending last verse, 58, right? So, Navindam Bhava Vedanam, they are not experiencing any material calamity because of their absorption in Krishna Katha. There is only one solution for all the calamities in this world, hearing Krishna Katha. So, by the end of Vidyapit, you should be convinced of this one point, which is repeatedly emphasized throughout Bhagavatam. Navindam Bhava Vedanam, that will happen only by Kurvanto Ramamanasya Krishna Rama Katham Muda. If you happily discuss Krishna Katha, then material calamity will not disturb you. Material calamity will not stop. Right? It will be there. It will be there perpetually as long as one is there in the material world. That is the nature of this material world. Right? If you go into AC room, you will have to feel cool. Right? You will not sweat within an AC room. That's very unlikely, right? So in this material world, you will have to experience difficulties, right? But they will not affect you when one is absorbed in Krishna Katha. That's the point. This is one of the last purports that Prabhupada wrote in his last days. He wrote 10.11.58. You can read that purport later. I don't want to distract you so much into that, which you are anyways going to read. But in this context, I thought it's appropriate to mention that. So in those places where people engage in spiritual duties like sacrifices, about devotional acts such as hearing, the Rakshasis become powerful. Right? Then what to speak of places where these devotional acts are primary means? Then the Rakshasis have no influence. Right? So after... And what to speak of a place where the Lord is personally present. Generally, if some spiritual practices are happening, Rakshasas cannot exhibit their influence. Right? Then, if some devotional activities are also being performed as a primary means, then definitely, if you occasionally do some spiritual activity, demons cannot exert influence. If you regularly do some devotional activity, demons will certainly not have influence in that places. What to speak of a place where Krishna is personally present? How can a Potana or Yatudhani exhibit her power here? So Potana cannot have any influence. This is the reassurance that is given by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. This is clear? Chakravarti Pad explains like this. Nanjeeva Goswami. So Potana killed children in towns and villages. Hearing about the devotees destroys the demons. What to speak of hearing about the Lord? So Satvatam Bhartur. See, this is a very nice comment that Jiva Goswami gave. So Kurvanti Satvatam Bhartur. So Shravanadini Kurvanti Satvatam Bhartur. Apply that Shravanadini to Satvatam. Means hearing about devotees. If you hear about devotees, that will destroy demons. Then apply that Shravanadini to Bhartur, the Lord. If you hear about the Lord, that will also destroy demons. So not just hearing about the Supreme Lord will destroy demons, hearing about the devotees also can destroy demons. That is the point. Jiva Goswami brings out another meaning. This is clear? Is it clear to everyone? Right? Satvatam Bhartur. Yes, Simachalam Prabhu. It's not very clear, right? So, Nayatra Shravanadini, whenever you hear about the Supreme Lord, then the demons will not disturb you. That is the theme of the verse, right? So, Jiva Goswami gives another perspective. See the third line. Kurvanti Satvatam Bhartur. Satvatam means what? Yes. What is Satvatam? Who are Satvatam? Devotees. Satvatam Bhartu, who is that? Krishna, the Lord of devotees. Now you see these two different. Satvatam, devotees. And apply that first line, Shravanadini, to Satvatam. Means you are hearing about devotees. That will destroy demons. And take that Bhartu. Bhartu is Krishna, right? So you hear about Krishna, that also will destroy demons. So one angle of looking at it is hearing about Krishna will destroy demons. Another perspective that Jiva Goswami gives is hearing about devotees also will destroy demons. That is the point. Next, fourth verse. Sakhe charye katodpatya utana ananda gokulam yoshitva maya yatmanam pravishat kamacharini.
Once upon a time, Putana Rakshasi, who could move according to her desire and was wandering in outer space, converted herself by mystic power into a very beautiful woman and thus entered Gokul, the abode of Nanda Maharaj.
Okay. So, Sakhechari, Ekadotpatya. So, once upon a time, right, that Khechari, right, who travels in outer space. So, Khechari means just travel. Right, they have, stick airplanes, right? They take a twig of a tree, they take one stick, small stick of a tree, and then they sit on it and then they go anywhere, right? They don't need an airplane or passport or visa or ticket, or they don't need that runaway also. They'll sit there and then it'll go. Witch. Black art. Witch. She's a witch. And one more important element that we need to know here is this Putana, she is coming into Vrindavan and mesmerizing all people. Right? No one stopped her to enter Nanda Maharaj's house like that. No one even suspected her. Even Yashodamai and Rohini, who are the eternal mothers of Krishna and Balaram, they also never doubted the intentions of Putana. Being a Nitya Siddha devotees, residents of spiritual world, eternal mothers of the Supreme Lords, how can they be bewildered by the spell of one witch like Putana? So we cannot attribute the success of Putana's entrance into Krishna's house only to her own mystic powers, right? Her own bewildering potency. It is Lord's Leela Shakti that is orchestrating this whole pastime. Because of the influence of Lord's Leela Shakti, none of the Vrindavan vasis could doubt Putana when she is coming into Vrindavan. Right? That is Leela Shakti's influence also. Jiva Goswami brings out this beautiful point. Like that. So, why Leela Shakti has to orchestrate like this? Why Leela Shakti has to allow Yashodamayi, allow this Putana to enter Vrindavan and eventually to Nandamara's house also? To increase Yashodamayi's prema. Right? So unless this Putana comes and causes some trouble there, how can we understand how much love that Yashodamayi has for Krishna? Right? Yashodamayi, we just will faint. She will cry as if she's a cow who lost her calf. But Yashodamayi's deep vatsalya affection for Krishna is revealed when Krishna is in danger. Right? She is a mother. Another lady in the garb of a mother is trying to kill her child. How much tribulation, how much pain that is caused in Yashodamayi's heart. Right? When Sukadeva Goswami describes that and when we hear that, we will appreciate Yashodamayi's vatsalya, affection for Krishna. Right? To glorify Yashodamayi, Leela Shakti allowed Putana to enter Vrindavan. This is one way of looking at it. Right? Make sense? So unless acharyas explain all this, we cannot understand. So that Leela Shakti is composed of Shri, Bhu and Leela. There are three aspects of Leela Shakti. And this Shakti is described as Tulasi and Vrinda in the Kartik Mahatmya of Padma Purana. Fine. So because of, by the inspiration of Lord's Leela Shakti, Putana entered Gokula. As if invited, Shri, Bhu and Leela. So without an invitation, this Putana is entering Vrindavan. As if invited. As if she was invited by someone. But actually she was invited only. By whom? By death. She was invited by death to enter Vrindavan. So, for different people, death invites at two different places. Okay, death. Death is staying at some place and then she will go, oh, I am here, you come and you go and embrace death and then he will be gone. So, Putana's fortune is death called her into Vrindavan. I will award you death in Vrindavan, not in any other ordinary place, not in Kamsa's palace. Right? Not in Lanka or some other place. So she had the fortune of dying in Vrindavan. Like that. So she went at night. Right? According to Parashara and Vaisampayana, she went in the night, flying in the sky. So all were so much enamored with her beauty that she had access to all the houses and towns. Nobody had closed doors for her. No one even asked Putana like that. Where are you? Why are you coming into our house? No one asks. All doors are open. Right? For example, one Maharaj, one great sannyasi is coming to Jeev. Right? Different people are in different departments. Somebody in Goshala, somebody is in engineering block, somebody is in department, DT room or some other places. If that Maharaj comes, some sannyasi comes and enters your area, Vrindavan Forest office or your maintenance office, will you stop him? We have open doors for such great personality. So, all the Vrajavasis in Vrindavan had open doors for Putana. You are welcome into our house. No one has any objection. It's all because of Leela Shakti. Like that. So, though the Lord's illusory potency has no desire to bewilder eternal devotees in Vrindavan, like this, still, Lord's Leela Shakti bewildered. Why? So that to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. Right? So Putana was able to exert her illusions like a magician only by the will of the Lord. I am making this point clear that don't understand that Putana, because of Putana's illusion, Vrajavasis are bewildered. Not that. Because of Putana's illusion could bewilder Vrajavasis only by the will of the Lord. By the will of the Lord, Lord's Leela Shakti influenced all the Vrajavasis to be bewildered by Putana. Otherwise, eternal devotees of the Lord cannot be cheated by a simple witch of this material world. She does not have potency to overpower the Vrajavasis. It's only Lord's Leela Shakti that is acting here. Next. तम केश बंध व्यतिशक्त मल्लिकाम ताम केश बंध व्यतिशक्त मल्लिकाम बृहन्नितंबस्तन कृच्छ मध्यमाम सुवास संकल्पित कर्ण भूषण त्रिशोल्लसत्कुन्तलमण्डिताननाम् वल्गुस्मितापाङ्गविसर्गवीक्षितैर् मनोहरन्तीं वनिताम्रजौकसाम् अमंसतां भोजकरेण रूपिणीम् गोप्यश्रियं द्रष्टुमिवागतां पतिम्
Her hips were full, her breasts were large and firm, seeming to overburden her slim waist. And she was dressed very nicely. Her hair, adorned with a garland of mallika flowers, was scattered about her beautiful face. Her earrings were brilliant, and as she smiled very attractively, glancing upon everyone, her beauty drew the attention of all the inhabitants of Raja, especially the men. When the gopis saw her, they thought that the beautiful goddess of fortune, holding a lotus flower in her hand, had come to see her husband Krishna.
Okay. So, as if she was a very auspicious personality, Sukadeva Goswami was describing her bodily features so elaborately. When the Lord comes into the sacrificial arena of Daksha, there is a beautiful description of his form. When the Lord gives darshan to Dhruva, there is a beautiful description of his form. And when Kapil Muni is describing how to meditate on the Supreme Lord, there is a limb by limb description of the form of the Lord. Right? At various places, Sukadeva Goswami or Suta Goswami, they are describing the finer details of the appearance, of the form of the Supreme Lord. But here Sukadeva Goswami is describing the form of Putana. Right? So, to what extent she exhibited different features of feminine attributes and how she won the trust of all these people that he is expressing. Right? Generally, young, why she is coming in such a beautiful form? So when a beautiful girl, young girl, when she says something that wins the trust of people, that's why in all the advertisements you see, only young ladies will come. Even a male uses some razor, right? Maybe ladies may not have any, have nothing to do with that kind of razor or shaving razor or whatever. Still, a young lady is shown. Why? Because they win trust. When you hear or when you see a young lady, you automatically half job is done. Right? Whatever she says is correct. It's a material world. Right? That is the nature of this world. So, here she is coming with such beautiful, attractive features so that everyone can trust her. Right? Old lady you may not trust also. Right? Lady who is not a very beautiful, having beautiful features, that also may not be trusted. Right? First, half of the, your willingness to hear the other person will increase by one's beauty only. That if she is a lady, more willingness to hear or to receive what she says. Right? If he's young, even more. Like that. That is the nature of this world. Right? Being carried away by the externals. And the voice, that is also very soft and sweet. Right? One will be entrapped like that. So seeing that beautiful woman with marks of lotus on her hands, the gopis concluded that she was the embodiment of all wealth and jewels. She was attractive, Vanita. She was so attractive that the Vrajavasis let her enter the inner chambers of their houses without obstruction. Inner chambers. Okay, you may enter a person when she comes, or she or he, whatever, comes into the house. You may allow that person to enter the wherever, the drawing room, the main hall. Inner chambers. Bedroom, still nobody is stopping. It's come something quite serious. A stranger whom you have never seen earlier, she is coming into the inner chambers of your residence place. into the bedroom or into whatever, your personal room. Nobody is stopping her. That's how she won trust, right, with her features. Jasmines bound together were tied in her hair, right, she was having flowers, making her very beautiful. Her face was decorated with locks of hair shining with the effulgence of her swinging earrings, right. So gopis thought that she was the wealth of the universe, Shriyam, since she held lotus in her hands. So why would she come? She seemed to be looking for her husband Narayana. This is another suspicion. So people thought that she was goddess of fortune, right? What will be the search of the goddess of fortune? Her husband Narayana. And where is that Narayana? In Nandamara's house. Nandamara is worshipping Lord Narayana. So Putana, being the goddess of fortune, she was searching Lord Narayana and entering Nandamara's house. That's what everyone thought. Why goddess of fortune aa gaya hamara gaon mein, right? And what does she have to do in our village? To meet Narayana. And where is Narayana? In Nandamara's house. This is what everyone thought. To that extent, everyone got bewildered by Leela Shakti of the Lord to facilitate Krishna's pastimes. Like that. Nandamara's Ishtadeva is Narayana. Or she is coming to bless some pious person who had taken shelter of her. This is another reason. Putana is coming. Goddess of fortune is coming to our house, to our village, to bless some of our devotees, right? With some special blessings, like that. So that person was Krishna alone. So some people thought that Krishna is so fortunate to be blessed by goddess of fortune, like that. But the fact is, Putana is so fortunate to be killed by Krishna and be delivered by Krishna, like that. So pati means husband, but Sridhar Swami does not accept this meaning, since later she is described as having motherly affection. So, because she will eventually become the mother or motherly nurse of Krishna, so that pati may not be very appropriate, right? Considering that Krishna is the husband of Putana, and that's why she is coming to meet her husband there, it may not be very exciting. Hare Krishna. So there is no redundancy in the description saying Manoharinim Vanitam Shriyam, since the first phrase applies to Putana and the second applies to the gopi's perception of her beauty. Okay, so Manoharinim Vanitam and Shriyam, they are like different words used to describe Putana. So one is how she appeared, another is how the gopis looked at her, right? There is exhibition of beauty, there is perception of beauty. So these two are described in multiple words. So they are not considered to be redundant. Seventh verse. Balagrahastatra vichinvati susyun. Give them chairs, na? Give them chairs. Upar baithe. Chair ke upar baithe. Balagrahastatra vichinvati shishun yadrichayananda grihe sadantakam balam pratichanna nijoru tejasam dadarshatalpe agnimivahitum bhasi.
While searching for small children, Putana, whose business was to kill them, entered the house of Nanda Maharaj unobstructed, having been sent by the superior potency of the Lord. Without asking anyone's permission, she entered Nanda Maharaj's room, where she saw the child sleeping in bed, his unlimited power covered like a powerful fire covered by ashes. She could understand that this child was not ordinary, but was meant to kill all demons.
Very important. Balagrahastatra vichinvati shishun. So fifth and sixth verses explained how she looked like. Seventh verse describes her intentions, going little more deeper. Balagraha. Balagraha means the witch whose business is to catch. Baby catcher. Balagraha means baby catcher. Right? An eagle comes. That eagle is a rat catcher. Red eagle, just recently we have seen one big, in front of our temple hall only, one big bird came, I don't know the name of the bird, just came and then, what is that, you know, creature that changes colors? Huh? Chameleon. That chameleon was passing, right? And that bird just came and then caught it and then took it, right? Eating it nicely. So like that. That's why she is called baby catcher. Then one is chameleon catcher, that bird. She is baby catcher. So she would just come and catch. Balagrahastatra vichinvati shishun. Vichinvati means vichinvati, chinta. Either she is thinking of or searching for. Right? Or doing both, definitely. So vichinvati shishun. She was searching for whom? Or thinking of whom? Shishu. Baby. And yadrichaya nandagrahe. Yadrichaya means independently, without anyone's permission, without anyone's sanction, without proposing or without someone's approval. She is just entering like that. She is just entering. So yadrichaya nandagrahe. She entered Nanda Maharaj's house. Sat antakam. Very important. Asat antakam. Sorry. Okay. Asat antakam. This baby, this Krishna, is asat antakam. Asat means demoniac people. Antakam means who can cause the anta. Antakam means one who can cause anta. One who can kill. Killer. Krishna is asat antakam. He is the killer of demoniac people. Like that. So balam, this child is asat antakam. So pratichanna nijoru tejasam. Right? Pratichanna means it's covered. It's not revealed. It's not opened up. What is not opened up? Nijoru tejasam. His personal prowess, his uru tejasam. Uru means very great, exalted. That urukrama, we say, right? Performer of great deeds. So uru tejasam, his great prowess is covered here. Right? His own great prowess is covered here. Dadarsha. She saw talpe agnim iva ahitam bhasi. So she could understand that this child was not ordinary but was meant to kill all the demons. Right? So when she saw the child sleeping in bed, his unlimited power covered like a powerful fire covered by ashes. That is the thing I was looking for. Agnim ivahasam bhasi. So bhasi means bhasma, ashes. So just like fire is covered by ashes, right? Sometimes fire is not revealed, it's there. But apparently because there are ashes, you can't see. Similarly, Krishna's fire-like energies and powers are covered because he is exhibiting the form of a small baby. Right? So Krishna is lying in the bed like that. And at that time, she saw. Right? She could sense that, oh, he was meant to kill all the demons like that. This child is not ordinary. Right? I have the habit of killing so many small children, but this child doesn't seem like an ordinary child. She felt like that. So demons are busy creating disturbances and killing, but the child lying on the bed in the house of Nanda Maharaj was meant to kill many demons. Like that. So she did not have to make much effort. Yadrichaya means independently she is entering. That also indicates that she was effortlessly doing it. She did not have to put so much effort to catch Krishna at this point. Right? Because Leela Shakti is facilitating her entrance into Nanda Maharaj's house. So she did not have to put so much of effort to enter Nanda Maharaj's house. Like that. She was inspired by Leela Shakti. So sudden coming to Nanda Maharaj's house was searching. She saw Krishna on the bed. Right? Next. And although Krishna was like the death to demons, he was manifesting his sweetness at that time. As a small infant baby. He was just 10 days old or less than that. 8th verse. Vibhudhyatam balakamarika graham. Chachacharatma nanimili tikshanaha. Arantamaropyadam kamantakam. यथोरगम सुप्तम बुद्धि रज्जुधी।
लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा द ऑल परवेडिंग सुपर सोल लाइंग ऑन द बेड अंडरस्टूड दैट पूतना अ विच हु वाज एक्सपर्ट इन किलिंग स्मॉल चिल्ड्रन हैड कम टू किल हिम देयरफॉर एज इफ अफ्रेड ऑफ हर कृष्णा क्लोज्ड हिज आईज दस पूतना टुक अपॉन हर लैप हिम हु वाज टू बी हर ओन एनिहिलेशन जस्ट एज एन अनइंटेलिजेंट पर्सन प्लेसेस अ स्लीपिंग स्नेक ऑन हिज लैप थिंकिंग द स्नेक टू बी अ रोप।
सो विबुध्यताम बालक मारिका ग्रहम बालक मारिका ग्रहम एनदर डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ पूतना वेरी एक्सपर्ट इन किलिंग स्मॉल बेबीज राइट एर्लियर शी वाज सेड एज शी वाज टोल्ड एज शी वाज डिस्क्राइब्ड एज बालक ग्रह नो बालक मारिका ग्रह दैट वाज हर डिस्क्रिप्शन चराचरात्मा च निमीलिते क्षणम। सो कृष्ण ऑल्दो ही इज चराचरात्मा ही इज ऑल पर्वेडिंग सुपर सोल चराचर आत्मा सो He is the super soul of all movable and immovable entities. What he is doing? Sa nimilite kshanam. He closed his eyes. Then anantam aropyada ankam antakam. So anantam, the Lord is unlimited. Aropayad ankam antakam. So he is ananta, the Lord is ananta. Aropayad ankam. Ankam means one's lap. So she took the small child and placed in her lap. Not knowing that he is Antakam. He is Anantam and Antakam. Antakam means one who can kill. Right? She is doing it for her own annihilation. She is placing her death in her lap. Right? Anantam aropayad antam. Ankam antakam. Like that. Yathoragam suptam abuddhi rajudihi. Yathoragam. Yatha means like a snake suptam sleeping. Abuddhi, without any intelligence, one thinks that a snake is a rope and then places it on his lap. Right? Without understanding the power of a snake, one will play with that snake. So similarly, without understanding the power of Krishna, she is placing her in her lap. She is placing Krishna in her lap. Like that. So now, we need to understand that Krishna is playing the part of a small baby. Right? In Vrindavan. So Krishna's primary intention is to absorb in the mood of a small baby. Right? Absorb in the mood of an infant and experience the love and affection of all Vrajavasis. That is Krishna's intent. Krishna's primary purpose of descent is just to have pastimes with his beloved devotees. Right? So he tells, my dear Leela Shakti, or my dear Samhara Shakti, or my dear Vibhuta Shakti, my dear Sarvagna Shakti, okay, all so many Shaktis Krishna has. All of you, chutti for you. Leave. Right? No more action for you. I am not going to use you. Right? I am primarily focused on my relationship with my devotees. I just want to have loving mother, loving pastimes with my mother. Yashoda Mai. I just want to play with my friends. Gopas, right? I just want to have some fun and pastimes with my gopis, girlfriends. He was thinking like that. But because this is material world, he cannot purely have only Vatsalya pastimes or Madhurya pastimes or Sakya pastimes, etc. Right? He also has to, because we are here, this is material world, he also has to kill some demons. For that, all these other Shaktis will come. Samhara Shakti, Vibhuta Shakti, opulences of Krishna, other energies of Krishna will have to come and assist Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna's primary intention is to absorb in his pastimes with his loving devotees. Right? So, all these Shaktis are constantly with Krishna, right? But not disturbing him. For example, some great personality will come. Okay, some chief minister or prime minister will come. He may want to have a private meeting with Madhava Prem Prabhu. Example, he happens to be the friend of our chief minister. Right? So, chief minister will know that my friend, my dear friend is studying in Vidyapeeth. He is in GEV, he is in Galtare. So, I want to go and meet him. So, whenever chief minister comes, All his security guards and whatever, secretaries and PAs and his servants and assistants, so many fellows will come with them. Right? But when he's having a heart-to-heart talk with his dear friend in Galtare, right, he doesn't want any disturbance from his security guards and all these other fellows. Right? He would say, are you just be in reception? Or you just go and sit in your accommodation in Vrindavan Kutir or Gokul Kutir. Don't disturb me. I'm just having meeting. Just having heart-to-heart talk with my friend in my room, right? In communal, in room number 11. Okay, I'll just meet him, don't disturb me. Like that. So Krishna is like that. When he's coming down, right, he just wants to have his pastimes. But while the chief minister is having meeting with Madhav Prem Prabhu, right, his heart-to-heart talk, friendly dealings and friendly talks are happening, some jokes are happening. Oh, in our school, we have done like this. Right, they were discussing and then they were having fun. Suddenly some, expert, what is that called? The other fellow who lost his, in elections, not two fellows will stand in elections, right? Opposite party, opposition party. That fellow comes to know that chief minister is in meeting with Madhav Prem Prabhu at Galtare, right? In disguise, he will book a room here, right? So he will come. While that meeting is happening, while that friendly exchange is happening, he will come and immediately attack. He may. Right? But the chief minister, not him. Right? So it might cause harm to him also. Right? By being in close contact or close connection with a big personality, right, there is a harm to this person also, who may not be very popular. Right? The enemy might cause a problem to him also. So, although the chief minister said, you stay away, okay, don't disturb me, still the security guards will surround the room, right, constantly wait for an opportunity. If some opposition party fellow will come and then drop a bomb here, or just go inside and then cause some issue, cause some problem, right, they are constantly vigilant, right. So whenever some kind of opportunity comes, whenever some kind of calamity comes, they would immediately jump and then take care of the situation, right. Similarly, and that will protect Krishna's interests, that will protect the devotees connected to Krishna also. Similarly, this Samhara Shakti or Sarvagna Shakti, Krishna is powerful, he is omniscient, right? But he wants the power of omniscience also to stay away, so that he can have affection. If he is aware that his friends are hiding, for example, they are playing hide and seek. Krishna and Gopas are playing hide and seek. Right? Krishna has to go and catch his friend. Then suddenly, Krishna's Sarvagna Shakti, power of omniscience or whatever, it comes and says, he is hiding behind that bush only. Then how will Krishna release the pastime? How will Krishna play hide and seek? Right? He says, you Sarvagna Shakti, omnipresence, omnipotent, whatever, you stay away. Let me play innocently. Let me search. Let me search my Gopa friend Sridhama, where he is, in behind which bush he is hiding. In that search, I will have a lot of relish, sweetness in that pastime. I will be able to experience that relish in my pastime. Okay, I will be able to exhibit my love towards my beloved sakhas. That's what Krishna is looking for. That's why he keeps all his potencies aside. But when demons like Putana come, right, then immediately that Sarvagna Shakti enters. So when the meeting is happening between the chief minister and him, the security guard will not come and disturb unnecessarily. But when some danger comes, he will come. Right? So he will leave the privacy of his master, but he will protect the master from calamity. That's what all the opulences of Krishna are doing here. So when Krishna is desiring to do something, right, opulences will come and then help him in executing that desire. When Krishna doesn't want disturbance, opulences will stay away not to disturb Krishna. In entire Vrindavan Leela, this is what happens. In Damodar Leela, Yashodamai was trying to tie Krishna. But Krishna's intention was, I want to go and play with my friends. So Krishna's, that Vibhuta Shakti, right, is manifested in Krishna's belly. Without increasing his size, that Shakti was not allowing Yashodamai to bind Krishna. For a long time it happened. So many ropes. Unable to tie a small belly of a baby which was just like a fist only. of Yashoda Mai. Still, because Krishna's desire is to play with gopas, how can Yashoda Mai bind? But later Krishna changed his desire. He was so attracted by Yashoda Mai's desire to bind him. So he came under the control of her love. Then all the Shaktis went away. Then Krishna's Krupa Shakti came. Right? And because of that mercy, Krupa Shakti allowed Yashoda Mai to bind Krishna. Like that. So here, Krishna is now, although he is an infant mood, being an infant, he has to exhibit his powers to kill Putana. That's what he will do now. That's why Putana, that's why this Sarvagna Shakti, right? Sarvagna Shakti, power of omniscience, and Samhara Shakti, destructive energy, they took the opportunity to render service to Krishna now. Now Krishna is going to kill. So, Anantam, that person who is without limit in all space and time, such a person was held by Putana in her lap. Then, Antakam and Ananta, they are like contradictory words, right? These contradictory words are used to express wonder, Radbhutarasa. Though Krishna could understand Putana's identity, he lay there with his eyes closed like a normal child. Right? That's what second line says. Characharatma cha nimilitekshanaha. He is characharatma, super soul. He can understand what's going on in Putana's mind. But infant just closes the eyes and then sits like this, right? Like that Krishna was closing his eyes and then sleeping there. Why Krishna closed his eyes? Several acharyas give several reasons. We'll discuss some 15-20 of them. Okay? Total 28 are there. We'll discuss whatever is possible. So first, because Krishna is playing the role of an infant, small child, so if a small child, whenever something comes, right, he becomes fearful and then closes his eyes, right, small baby, I don't know, we have observed. So Krishna is being absorbed in the mood of an infant. He was exhibiting fear when Putana came, right, that's why he closed his eyes. That is one reason why Krishna closes his eyes. Then, Putana is such an inauspicious lady, such an evil lady, so she kills small babies. So Krishna closed his eyes to avoid seeing such an inauspicious person. Second reason. Then third reason. Now, Krishna, when he opens his eyes and glances on a person, auspiciousness is created for that person. That person becomes so fortunate. Right? But Krishna's intention was not to show any mercy on Putana in one sense. Right? But to kill Putana at this point. If I open my eyes and shower my glance on Putana, that will create auspiciousness for her. So I should not create auspiciousness for Putana. I should kill her now. That's why Krishna closed his eyes. He did not open his eyes. Like that. So to avoid making that the violence that he is going to commit towards Putana auspicious, he closed his eyes. Like that. Then, if Krishna opens his eyes and glances at Putana, Putana might understand Krishna's powers or that she might be overpowered. Right? Krishna did not want to do that. Right? She may run away. Who knows? Right? Are you catching? It seems he's like too much for me to handle. Let me run away. She may think like that. So to avoid overpowering or dominating Putana, he kept his eyes closed. He will not see. Okay? Let her think that I am still an ordinary child only and then let her attempt to kill me. Like that. Then actually Putana came like a mother. Right? She did not have motherly feelings, but she's exhibiting motherly affection towards Krishna. She was about to feed her breast milk to Krishna. Right? That is quite motherly. But Krishna, knowing her intention, she is about to kill her. So Krishna wants to avoid that embarrassment of killing a woman who is exhibiting motherly feelings. That's why he closed his eyes. He did not want to be embarrassed. Then, Putana is about to die in some time. Few moments ahead, right? Countdown started already. Right? As soon as she touched Krishna, countdown started. So, to avoid seeing the ghastliness of Putana's death, Krishna closed his eyes. Because Krishna is a reservoir or ocean of good qualities. Someone who is so good, he doesn't want to see something very ghastly. For example, somebody is so much in mode of goodness. Right? If he goes into a fish market or a meat market, he would feel very uncomfortable. For example, we are coming from Bombay to GEV at that Tenaka, right? Right? Many times you see some hanging flesh, whatever they kill, some goat or whatever, and then hang the dead body there, and they cut small portions and then sell to people. To pass through that lane is such a horrible experience, very embarrassing experience. You feel very uncomfortable there, right? So when you are taking the turn under that bridge to enter the Tenaga, all this, and there also there are some meat shops, very uncomfortable. You are waiting for the gadi at Tenaga, and behind it there are meat shops. You feel little, because Krishna, being a reservoir of good qualities, he was not comfortable seeing that ghastliness of Putana's death. She is about to die. That's why he closed his eyes. Acharya is explained like this. Then Putana represents avidya. Right? So Krishna thought, avidya cannot stand before me. If Putana doesn't stand before me, how will I kill her? Right? So when Krishna opens his eyes, and this avidya cannot stand, Putana, who is representing avidya, cannot stand. So Krishna closes his eyes so that she can stand and he can kill her. Like that. So Putana means Putan apanatini, apinatini, natana. She can kill even pure innocent children also. That's why he did not want to see her. This is another reason. Right? Knowing her, this eighth reason. Knowing her intention, her activity. Right? He did not want to kill. So, then Krishna closed his eyes. When you are reflecting on something, when you are thinking about something, you will generally close your eyes, right? You are trying to recollect something. Exam lekar aap log, that verse I memorized, but I am forgetting the second line. Like this, you will think, right? You will close your eyes. So Krishna closed his eyes to think whether this Putana has done some pious activities at some time. I am going to kill her or deliver her. Did she do some pious activity in her previous lives? He was trying to think by closing his eyes. There is another reason. So, Krishna thought in his mind that I never drank milk from a sinful lady. Although Krishna, in the form of a human being, right, he appeared and then he drank milk from mothers, like Kaushalya, now Yashoda Mai, or Rohini, or Devaki. Devaki fed breast milk to Krishna before sending him to Vrindavan. So, Krishna only drank milk from very devoted and exalted ladies. He never drank milk from a sinful lady. But she is sinful. So Krishna was a little disgusted. He closed his eyes. How can I drink milk from this lady? Right? Just like if someone drinks milk, drinks something bitter, he closes his eyes, right? It's not very tasty. For example, आपको चिकू जूस करके दे दिया, but that happens to be a करेला जूस, right? You are thinking it's a चिकू जूस, and then you just putting in your mouth, and it is very bitter. Then you close your eyes, right? That's what Krishna is doing, like that. So, and in this life, Putana has done only sin. I'm telling little elaboration on the ninth reason. In this life, Putana has done only sin. So Krishna is closed his eyes and then thought whether she has done something pious in his previous life or not. In her previous life or not. That's the point. So, there are unlimited jivas within Krishna's body. Another reason. Unlimited jivas are there within Krishna's body. So, they were fearful. Right? Knowing that Krishna is going to drink poisonous milk. What will happen to us? They may think like that. So, that's why Krishna closed his eyes. Right, to pacify, by closing his eyes, he tried to pacify the jivas within the body of Krishna, like that. Then, 12th reason, Krishna was thinking, I came to Gokul Vrindavan to drink milk, pure milk, not poisonous milk, and eat butter. But now I have to drink poison. And drinking poison is the activity of Shiva, not me. So by closing his eyes, Krishna was meditating on Lord Shiva. Oh my Lord Shiva, you have drank so much of poison, right, that is coming in that Samudra Manthan. Give me also ability to drink this little poison from Putana's body. Something like that. So he was meditating on Lord Shiva. Second, Shiva and Krishna, there is no difference. When? In one sense, right? When the Lord touches the material energy, he becomes Shiva. Lord untouched by material energy, he is the Lord, Supreme Lord, Krishna or Vishnu, right? So, actually when Krishna was drinking milk from Putana's body, who was drinking the poison? Shiva was drinking the poison. Okay, it will be confirmed in the next verses. 10th verse it will be confirmed. Shiva was drinking the poison, but Krishna was only drinking the milk. Like that. So Shiva's role is to drink poison or becoming angry. That is all Shiva's job. So when Krishna seems to do it, he does through the medium of Shiva. Like that. Then, another very interesting reason. Lord's eyes represent sun and moon. Is it not? Sun and moon are Krishna's eyes. So when you leave body and depart, what will happen? Either you travel through the path of sun or path of moon. Right? It is said that there is like Suryayana and then Chandrayana, and you travel, a departed soul will travel through one of these paths. Now sun and moon are representing Krishna's eyes, and sun and moon are thinking that now Krishna is going to kill this lady and Krishna is going to deliver this lady, and we will not allow this lady to travel on our paths. She has to find some other path. She cannot travel in Chandrayana or Suryayana. They closed his eyes. Because of influence of Shiva, sun and moon, Krishna closed his eyes. That's another reason. See how acharyas relish in different ways. So they thought that Krishna is very merciful and he will deliver her. Right? So we will not allow her. Allow her to take a higher destination by allowing her through our path. Like that. And now Krishna's every limb is a personality. Krishna's eyes are also personality. Right? So Krishna's eyes were thinking. Krishna's eyes also have a mind. Krishna has a mind. Krishna's eyes have a mind. So they were thinking, we are eyes, but we are decorating the body of Krishna. We are decorating the lotus face of Krishna. And the eyes of Putana are also eyes. They belong to our same jati. Right? We belong to the same caste or same species. Right? Eye jati. Right? So we are eyes, we are decorating face of Krishna, and our jati partner, right, they are decorating Putana's eyes, Putana's face. So we will not see that. Right? I mean, for example, two people are there, same caste. For example, a Kshatriya is there. Right? Kshatriyani, that's come to more contemporary example. So in this material world, there are some higher caste people and lower caste people. SC, ST, scheduled caste, they are considered a little lower. Right? There are some caste brahmanas and they think themselves as higher. Right? So, for example, that caste brahmana, orthodox brahmana, the son of that brahmana will come and marry a sudra girl. Right? SC, scheduled caste girl. And that brahmana, his family thinks that this fellow has become whatever, Varna Sankara, he will create Varna Sankara, he has fallen, something like that, they will think like that. Right? So, higher caste person getting degraded by associating with a lower caste. Right? Some people will think like that. Similarly, Krishna's eyes are thinking that our caste personality, another eyes, right? They are helping a demon. We are not going to see it. Right? For example, the Brahmana son, after marrying a Sudra girl, he goes to his father and says, you cannot enter my house, get lost. Right? You have nothing to do with my property. Right? I will not consider your son. Okay, I'll put water on me and then consider that my son is dead. Right? All this, in India it will happen, right? You might have seen in some movies also. Same thing. So Krishna's eyes are unable to see Putana's eyes. Then it is said that Nimi Maharaj is situated on the eyelids of people. Nimisha, Animesha, like that. There are words connected to eyes. So it is said that Nimi Maharaj is situated on the eyelids of people. So Nimi, who is situated on the eyelids of Krishna, he was not allowing Krishna to see like that.
So those eyelids did not want to see Putana, want to block the vision of Putana like that. And the reason Acharya says, Lord's eyes are Rajahamsa. So they did not want to see Putana. Simple. Then Krishna thought, from outside, she is dressing like a mother, and from inside, she is very cruel. So let me not see her. A hypocrite person is not very, the vision of a hypocrite person is not very pleasing. So Krishna was thinking that she is a hypocrite. Bahar kuche, andar kuche, I will not see. Like that, he was not interested. Then, if she sees my eyes, she may understand that she cannot kill me and may just go back. Krishna did not want to do that. So she left. Then, as Lord Ramachandra, Krishna killed Tataki, the first demon. As Krishna, again, he has to kill another lady demon only, woman, Putana. So Krishna felt very embarrassed. What will people think about me? Every incarnation he kills ladies only first. What is this? People may say like that. So Krishna was a little embarrassed. Like that. First I have to kill demon. So then if I see her, if Krishna sees, it is Karuna Drishti. Krishna's glance is considered very merciful. Hasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra sokasura sagara visoshana matyudaram. Udaram. Krishna's glance is very udaram, very magnanimous. Karuna, it's filled with karuna, compassion. If he opens his eyes and sees Putana with his karuna drishti, then he will not be able to kill her. Right? So if I see her with my ugra drishti, he will burn to ashes immediately. Right? If Krishna can see in two ways, either with compassion or with krodha or anger, both she will not be able to sustain. If she sees with karuna drishti, then he will not be able to kill her. If he sees with ugra drishti means very fierce glance. If he does like that, then she will be burned to ashes immediately. There is no gradual transition of her feeding milk and then her becoming big and then you are crying, leave me child, and then she goes. All this will not happen. Just in one moment she will be ashes. Done. Ho gaya. Rasa, there is no maja there. So Krishna wants that maja. So he did not want to see like that. So if I see her in this Dharitri Vesha, mother form, I may not be able to kill her. But she may kill other children, so better to kill her without seeing her. This is another reason. Means, if Krishna sees her in a motherly form, Dharitri Vesha, Krishna will not be inspired to kill her. If Krishna doesn't kill her, she will go and kill other children. Because by nature she is a baby catcher, baby killer. So Krishna did not want her to kill other children by his glancing on her. So he closed his eyes. Then, so many things can be resolved through yoga. And in yoga process, one has to close his eyes. So here Krishna wants to resolve this issue in front of him. Whether to kill Putana or how to kill Putana, all this. So he was closing his eyes in yogic trance and then thinking how to kill. So Krishna took shelter of yoga to think how can we resolve this imminent danger. Then Krishna knew that she had come to kill all children in Gokul. But she was not able to see anyone. So she was directed by Yogamaya directly into the house of Nanda Maharaj. So some references say that before killing Krishna, she did not kill anyone else. The first baby she tried to kill was Krishna in Vrindavan, and Krishna killed her. Although she is by profession she is a baby killer. First baby she tried to kill was happened to be Krishna, and she could not kill anyone else. Then Krishna never tolerates offense against his devotees. Right? All the children in Gokul are his unalloyed devotees. So Krishna, Putana was attempting to kill all the children of Gokul. Right? So Krishna could not tolerate her offense. She is intending to cause harm to my dear devotees, all my other children of Gokul. After a couple of years, I will grow up and they will also grow up. I am going to play with them. I am going to the forest to
10 cows and calves along with them only, my future friends, my future companions, my future colleagues. How can she contemplate on killing them? Right? He was not, out of intolerance he closed his eyes. So Maya Shakti cannot stand in front of me. So if I saw her, she may come into her original form. Because how can someone exhibit some illusory form in front of the Supreme Lord? In front of Krishna, nanga khada rana padega. Right? Krishna knows our in and out. We cannot go and hide our intentions in front of Krishna, hide our forms. We can't just hide, you can't present yourself in front of Krishna in a different attire. You are what you are. He knows you better than what you are. So if Krishna opens his eyes, her hidden form, her disguised form as a beautiful lady will disappear and she will have to appear in her original form of a putana, 8 miles lady, which, right, very horrible looking lady. So, if she manifests her form like that, Yashoda Mai will see and she will get bewildered, she will get scared, she will get panic. So Krishna is concerned about Yashoda Mai. If I open my eyes, then Putana will not be able to stay in this beautiful form, but she will manifest her ghastly form. Seeing that ghastly form, my mother's Rohini and Yashoda Mai will get so much troubled, so let me not open my eyes. That's why Krishna closed his eyes. Then Putana had come with a wrong intention and I have to kill her. So feeling guilty, Krishna has closed his eyes. And Krishna is the Supreme Father. Everyone is his child. So when Krishna is about to punish Putana, he can't see the suffering of Putana. Right? So he closed his eyes. It's not that Krishna takes pleasure in giving punishment to the conditioned souls. When Duryodhana was killed by Bhishma, he was lying in a pool of blood. His thigh was broken. He was lying in a pool of blood. Krishna was not at all happy to see that. Ultimately, Duryodhana was also part and parcel of Krishna. He is a soul. So Krishna wanted every soul to take shelter of devotional service, to be devotional and then reunite with him. But Duryodhana was not hearing. So Krishna was obliged to punish Duryodhana through Bhima in that way. But he was not happy to punish him. He was not happy to see Duryodhana's condition after receiving that punishment. Right? Same thing with Putana also. He was not happy to see Putana about to die in such a ghastly way. He closed his eyes. So, and it is the nature of children, when they see someone unknown, right, they close their eyes. Oh, small babies. So that's why Krishna closed his eyes. These are various reasons why Krishna closed his eyes when Putana came. The 9th verse. Tantikshna chittam ativa amacheshtitam Vikshyantara kosha parichadashivat Varastriyam tat prabhayacha dharshite Nirikshyamane jananihyatishtatam
Putana Rakshasi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus she resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheath. Although seeing her within the room, Yashoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her, but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother.
So, tam tikshna chittam. Tikshna chittam. Tikshna means very fierce. Chittam is consciousness, her mood, her mentality. Her mentality was very fierce. To kill an infant baby with poisoned breast, the means is so abominable, the goal is so abominable, her consciousness was so abominable. That is Tikshna Chittam. Sukadeva Goswami is describing her consciousness with these harsh and strong words. Ativama Cheshtitam. Ativama Cheshtitam means, although she was trying to treat the child better than a mother, Ativama Cheshtitam. Vama Swabhava. Vama is very gentle. That ativama, extra gentle, cheshtitam, cheshta, her activities are very gentle, right? More than a mother, right? She was thinking like that. She was exhibiting like that. But tikshna chittam, such opposite things, right? Such extreme opposite elements accommodated in one personality. Her activities are ativama cheshtitam, very affectionate, more affectionate than a mother, and internal such horrible consciousness of killing a child through exhibition of motherly love, like that. That is abusing motherly love only. Right? That's a taint on exhibition of motherly love. Even in the material world also, a mother can never contemplate harm for a child, although he is an infant. Right? Of course, as Kali Yuga progresses, this also may not hold true. Because before the infancy stage only, a mother can kill a child within the womb also. Prabhupada criticized that many times. Out of her uncontrolled senses, she does some mistake, and then she becomes pregnant, and then she wants to kill the child before even he takes birth. Even Kamsa never tried to do abortion for Devaki. He allowed Devaki to give birth to a child, and then he tried to kill. Something like that. Even the demigods also, they kidnapped Kayadu. And after the child is born, we will kill the child. Like that. So at least when the child was within the womb of a mother, nobody will attempt to kill, at least in the Vedic times. But now Kali Yuga is degrading so much. Right. Anyways, Ativama Cheshtitam. Then, Vikshantara Kosha Parichidasivat. Yeah, these are like other things. Then Varastriyam Tat Prabhayacha Darshite. So seeing her, seeing this Varastriyam. Varastriyam means very beautiful woman, right? But she is having Viksha Antara, seeing her within the room. Kosha Parichada Asivat. Asivat is an important word. Asivat means like a sharp sword. Asi is knife or sword. So Asivat, like a sharp sword within a soft sheath. Kosha Parichada Asivat. These two words are there, right? Tikshna Chittam Ativama Cheshtitam. External Cheshtitam are more affectionate than mother. Internal consciousness is more harmful, right, than a worst possible enemy, right? So knife is very sharp, a sword is very sharp, right? If you do like this, blood will come out, but that is kept in a nice soft velvet sheath, right? So you touch that, it is having such a very wonderful feel, softness of touch. You take velvet cloth, right, you put inside, but remove that 1 mm thick cloth or 1 mm or 0.5 mm thick cloth, then you touch the knife like this. Blood, it's like that. Putana was like that, right? Externally ativama cheshtitam, internally tikshna chittam, internally asivat, externally softest sheath, that is putana. Varastriyam, she's so beautiful when she's entering the house of Nanda Maharaj. Tat prabhayacha dharshite. So dharshite, this is not darshite. Darshite is taking darshan by seeing. Dharshite means being overwhelmed by that darshan. So seeing her, all the household ladies became overwhelmed. Right? Seeing that varastriyam. Tat prabhaya, seeing her great influence and effulgence, they were very bewildered, overwhelmed. The nirikshamane janani hi atisthitam. So atisthatam means they did not prohibit her. Janani. Janani means mother Rohini and mother Yashoda. They did not prohibit this lady, Putana, to enter. So cruel heart, gentle conduct. Yoga Swami says. She had a cruel heart and her conduct was very gentle. So because of her gentle exterior, her real motive could not be detected. Because she came within the house, the two mothers did not detect her motive. Right? That's why they allowed a stranger into the house. They had no doubts because she appeared to be the best of women, Varastriyam, like that. So they were thinking that Ambika, Indrani, or Lakshmi of the three worlds had come to feed Krishna out of her motherly love. They were thinking like that. Now, 10th verse. I think after 10 verses we can stop. Okay.
Then that they were captivated by yoga maya, it is said in the purport. So such maya, moha is the action of yoga maya. So we will now, we should not think that Yashoda and Rohini, they were under that spell of Putana. Right? It's not Mahamaya, it is Yogamaya that is influencing them for pastime. So, sometimes a beautiful woman is dangerous because everyone being captivated by her external beauty, Maya Mohita, is unable to understand what is there in her mind. Like that. That's what has happened to Yashoda and Rohini at this point. At one level, you need to understand that their eternal associates, they cannot be bewildered by material energy. They are bewildered only by Yogamaya. At another point, if one is bewildered by the external beauty, he cannot see the internal consciousness and one will get cheated. That's the lesson we need to take from this. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. Next. Tasmin stanam durjana viryamulvanam घोरांकमादाय शिशोर्दधावथम् गाढं कराभ्यां भगवान् प्रपीड्यतत् पुराणैः समं रोषसमन्वितोऽपिबत्.
On that very spot, the fiercely dangerous Rakshasi took Krishna on her lap and pushed her breast into his mouth. The nipple of her breast was smeared with a dangerous, immediately effective poison. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, becoming very angry at her, took hold of her breast, squeezed it very hard with both hands, and sucked out both the poison and her life.
So, on that very spot, so Krishna was fed by this lady, Putana. So Krishna eventually, gradually sucked out the poison and her life also. So filled with anger that she was going to kill all the children of Raja by offering her breast to them, his Shakti of destruction, Krishna Shakti, Samhara Shakti, sucked out her impure life. So Krishna did not personally kill Putana. Krishna Samhara Shakti, the Shakti of destruction, killed her. Because all these Shaktis are very conscious. Right? So they are aware that Putana's intention was to kill all the children. Right? Out of anger towards Putana for having such evil intentions towards small infant babies, Samhara Shakti became very fierce and killed Putana, sucked out her life. Though we say a man cuts down the tree, actually it is the axe held by the man that cuts down the tree. So, though we say that Krishna killed Putana, it's actually that Samhara Shakti of Krishna killed Putana. In one sense, Krishna is the doer, but in another sense, Krishna is not the doer. His Samhara Shakti is the doer. This is Achintya. Don't get confused. So, Krishna only killed. Without Krishna's sanction, without Krishna's will, how can his Samhara Shakti act? Without the Shakti man, how can the Shakti exert her influence? That's the point. Another point, it's not that the Shakti man is doing the whole thing, Shakti is doing the whole thing. Both are true. You should see from two different angles without getting confused. You should see sometimes Bheda Vakya, you should see Abheda Vakya and reconcile both with Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. You know what is Bheda Vakya? In the scriptures there are Bheda Vakyas. Means they clearly mention the difference between the Lord and the Jiva. There are Abheda Vakyas. They clearly explain the non-difference between the Lord and Jiva. And you need to understand both of them in proper context and see them in the light of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Yes, Lord and Jiva are non-different in quality. Yes, Lord and Jiva are different in quantity. That is Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. They are simultaneously one and different. That's how we need to reconcile. Okay, now Krishna personally killed Putana, but he did not personally kill Putana. Samhara Shakti killed Putana, but she did not independently kill Putana without Krishna's will. So both of them together killed Putana. But one explanation is Krishna did not kill. Samhara Shakti killed. Another explanation is Samharshakti, how can she kill without Krishna's sanction? Okay. You need to understand both. Right? Though we say a man, this is done. The poison viryam was so intense, ulbanam, that just touching it would cause death. The putana's breast, that poison is there, just by touching it one will die. But by drinking it also Krishna did not die. He is not an ordinary child. So Krishna drank the milk along with her life airs, since it was suitable to kill by deception, since she was also deceptive. Someone may accuse Krishna that, hey, this fellow is a cheater. Right? In the garb of an infant child, in the name of drinking some milk from mother, he killed. Right? Along with sucking her milk, he sucked her life also. He is a cheater. Right? He is not an infant baby. Kantri. One may say like that. One may accuse Krishna like that. But to kill a deceptive lady in a deceptive way is not wrong. She is also coming in the garb of a mother. And how can she kill a child? She is offering milk to the infant baby mixed with poison. Is she not deceptive? If she is deceptive, killing her in a deceptive way, is it not correct? Is it wrong? So what Krishna did is not wrong. The first demon that Krishna killed, he did it in a adharmic way. Right? He did it in such an abominable way. Some people may comment like this. A motherly lady is offering her milk to this baby and this baby is sucking her life. What kind of God he is? And you are worshipping that God. See his track record. What kind of activities he is involved in? Someone may question us like that. We have to be ready with answer. He is deceptive. She is deceptive. And he is killing in a deceptive way. He is doing the needful. What is your problem? Right? You take shelter, he will give protection. That's what you expect from God, right? So you should give him that argument. So the power of his anger, right, sucked out her impure evil propensities, just as a man with an axe cuts down a tree. So Krishna did not personally do it, but the power of anger of Krishna, Samhara Shakti, in the form of Samhara Shakti, that killed Putana. Krishna did not personally do it. For example, many people misunderstand that Kapila Muni, he killed all these sons of Sagara. But it is not that Kapila Muni killed. Because these fellows doubted Kapila Muni and became angry towards Kapila Muni and wanted to capture and kill Kapila Muni, their offensive attitude became fire and burned them to ashes. Otherwise, Kapila, Lord Kapila is a Shuddha Sattva Vigraha. He is a teacher of TLK 3.25 to 32. Right? How can he exhibit anger? Right? In Vishuddha Sattva Vigraha, how can Krodha exist? But these fellows were not killed by the wrath of Kapila, but they were killed by their own offensive attitude towards Kapila. Like that. So, Putana is also not killed by Krishna personally, but because of her activities, anger arose, right, in Samhara Shakti and in Krishna, that will that killed Putana. Like that. He only pretended to suck her breast. The results she would attain were because of this imitation of sucking her breast. Krishna pretended to suck her breast. It's not that he is hungry for Putana's milk. He was hungry for the butter of all the Vrajagopis. He was hungry for the milk of Mother Yashoda Mai, not Putana. Right? He did not affectionately suck her. But he imitated. But just by imitation, she was delivered. What to speak of affectionately drinking milk, eagerly drinking milk. That privilege was available for all the Vrindavan elderly gopis, not for Putana. Putana attained position of motherly nurse, but her position as a motherly nurse is not equivalent to any of the elderly gopis. Okay. This anger was also temporary and then transformed into greatest mercy. I mean, in Krishna's anger also, although she committed mistake, how can Krishna become such a cruel master in the name of cruel person? In the name of drinking milk from her body, he drank her life airs only. He drank her life airs only. Someone may accuse like that. But that exhibition of Krishna's anger was so temporary.
immediately transformed into greatest mercy. Just because Krishna touched her body is emanating fragrance like sandalwood, agaru, right? Like dhoop or whatever. So, and then it transformed into greatest mercy. Like that. To indicate this, Krishna is called Bhagavan, filled with qualities like compassion which never leave him. Okay, that is mentioned. So, since he was absorbed in his infant pastimes, his Shakti acted on his behalf. This is what we discussed elaborately. So, all his Shaktis performed appropriately since they were awaiting for opportunities to serve while he was absorbed in his infant mode. So, all these people, just like Chief Minister, he was absorbed in his discussion with his friend, but all his security guards are very alert. Wherever there is a need, wherever there is an opportunity, without disturbing the Chief Minister, they will come and assist him. Okay, and protect his interests. Similarly, all the Shaktis were constantly surrounding Krishna and waiting for an opportunity to render service to Krishna without disturbing Krishna. Krishna is in infant mood, let him be absorbed in infant mood. Right? Some Harshakti comes, I will do the needful to kill this putana. Getting right? Krishna is playing the role of an innocent baby. Putana took her, took Krishna and then fed. So Krishna was innocently trying to drink. But Samaharshakti came in between and then that is Shiva. So poison cannot kill a person filled already with poison. So therefore he thought, I will mix her life airs with mine in order that they become purified by association. Like that. I will mix her life airs with my life airs to purify her. So we will end here. 10 verses are over. Rathrashimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. We'll discuss from 11th verse some other time. Or some other speaker, whatever.